As we continue our series of When We Pray, I actually want to start the sermon off with prayer because today's topic is not necessarily an easy one to hear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the individuals that are going on the IH trip, for those that are traveling, for those that just aren't here today. We pray for the ones that are here that we can hear your word as it speaks to us today about forgiveness and how we apply that in our lives. That Jesus took some extra time to teach on this subject because he knew it was going to be hard. We thank you for giving us your word and letting it guide our lives. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Have you ever asked God for something and you wanted to give it back? Maybe you asked God for some patience right before a home remodel project. Or maybe you ask God for some strength right before doing an exercise class. Or you signed yourself up for a marathon, and you said, yeah, endurance, and you realize how difficult a marathon might be. Or maybe you said, God, I want you to show me the one you want me to marry. But that meant you have to deal with smelly boys and heartbreak and all that other stuff, right? Yeah, today's subject is one that when we kind of hear the knowledge, sometimes we might want to give that knowledge back because it's hard to hear. And Jesus takes some extra time preaching on it or teaching on it because he knew it was going to be hard to hear, right? Today's topic is on prayer and forgiveness and how they kind of go together. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had to pray for forgiveness, right? I've never stuck my foot in my mouth. I'm a youth pastor. I definitely have. I have never made a joke that went too far or said an insensitive thing or blunt, right? Chances are you, kind of like me, have probably said those things. And so when we look at forgiveness, it's not something that's just random, like, God, maybe if I've offended somebody, I pray for them. No, it's usually like, God, I know who I'm wronged, and I need to forgive them, or I know who's wronged me, and I need to forgive them. Oh, this is personal and focused, right? Jesus, in this next segment here, right after the Lord's Prayer, he takes some time to emphasize forgiveness, because he mentions it in the Lord's Prayer, but he takes some time to emphasize it, and not because it's more important than anything else in the Lord's Prayer, but that it's probably really hard. So I want you to imagine for a sec, right? Here's the traditional Sermon on the Mount location, okay? So I want you to pick a spot, right? Maybe right there by that bush or over there, maybe on top of the bush. Pick a spot where you can imagine yourself being, because when we get to the topic this morning in verse 14, we understand that the Lord's Prayer continues, verse 9 through 13, and then it doesn't just like stop. Like there's not a chapter break there. Jesus continues on teaching. So pick a spot here, imagine yourself there, okay, Jesus, his disciples, he's sitting down teaching them, and he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one, right? And he goes, okay, sermon over, go home. Not really. I want you to draw some attention here to verse 12. And forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. Again, it doesn't just say, okay, we'll all go home. He says, actually, verse 14, he continues on just so casually as if, like, this is the next part of the lesson, guys. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Hold on a second. Let's look at the word sin here, because the word sin is actually addressing real harm. Okay, this is not like I put a rubber band on the sprayer and then someone turned on the sink and, psh, and sprayed me. That's a prank, right? Maybe a sin if you do it to your mom. But this is saying real harm. I'm talking like knife in the back, words behind your back, broken trust. That's real harm. Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they cause you real harm against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, there's the next word in verse 15 is one of the tricky words, right? That word, but. Ooh. My daughter doesn't necessarily like that word because she goes, Dad, can I have some candy or can I have a snack? I said, yeah, you can have a snack, but you have to finish your dinner first. Right? It's like, you have to do this, then this. Jesus throws this word out here and says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Hold on a second, Sean. That's the knowledge I'm talking about that we want to necessarily give back, because what Jesus is saying right here is, I, Sean, if I don't forgive other people their sins, then I, Sean, will not be forgiven by the Lord. And I, Sean, will go to hell. Whoa, that's a pretty big claim, right? That's a big thing. But the thing is, that's what Jesus is trying to say here. He's saying forgiveness doesn't just like, oh, it just goes to you and that's a bit, and there's no big deal. He's saying that you have to do something with it. And this is where we see like this something that comes very basic to our Christian life, where our Christian life is kind of split into these two dimensions, right? When I say that is, there's our relationship between us and God. Okay, I call that, and Darren calls that the vertical dimension, right? This is everything that the forgiveness that goes between me and God and my personal relationship with him, the vertical, right? Let me tell you, forgiveness is an important part of that relationship because I have a pretty big debt of sin that needs to be forgiven, and God's the only one that can forgive that. So forgiveness, really important to this vertical relationship. However, the second dimension is the horizontal relationship, which is my relationship with other people, right? Our relationship with other people. And Jesus is saying the forgiveness that comes between me and God is just as important as the forgiveness that comes between me and others. And, you know, follow with me. There's an intersection point between the horizontal and the vertical. Where does it intersect? You and me, right? It comes down to us. I want to use an illustration here. Okay, I borrowed this handy device, this little pipe, from our library to kind of illustrate a point, right? It has a kind of an L shape here. A lot of times we have our forgiveness with God, like Jesus' ping pong ball of forgiveness, okay? We put it down the pipe. It comes right to us, right? Yeah, I'm forgiven by God. That's awesome. Again, I'm forgiven by God. And that's a great mentality to have, right? Just me, I'm forgiven. And that everyone else can do their own thing. Jesus is saying, no, hang on, this piece is the problem, right? Sometimes we're so selfish that we have that piece on. Jesus says, no, replace it with this, okay? Yeah, the forgiveness comes down to me, yeah, but just as equally as it goes out to others, right? Okay, here it comes out to others. What Jesus is saying here is pretty important because what he's saying is, if we don't forgive others, have the ping pong ball go this way, the ping pong ball doesn't go this way. Right? If you don't forgive others, our sins won't be forgiven. So that puts a little bit of a conundrum, right? Because many times we treat this and we go, yeah, I love being forgiven by Jesus. It comes down and I'm like, yeah, now I have to forgive others. Well, that person really hurt me. I have a grudge against that person, and we end up getting some trash, and we end up shoving it in there and saying, I'm going to limit my forgiveness to other people. Like, there's still some that can come out of there, right? It's maybe a little bit of water, but the ping pong ball comes down and comes out to me, and like, I'm going to give just a little bit to others. We end up clogging it up with our unforgiveness. That's where Jesus is saying is like, no. Like, it has to flow freely. We see this in an example is in a story. It's called The Unforgiving Servant. It's in a parable that Jesus tells later in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. I'm going to read it to you because it pretty much explains itself. And Jesus, again, we talk about how he says multiple times, like, I'm going to tell you about forgiveness because, not because it's more important than anything else, but because it's going to be harder for us to deal with, right? This is illustrating that the forgiveness in a vertical is connected to a horizontal forgiveness. If you want to follow along with me in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. It's a larger segment, but it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who's decided to bring his accounts up to date with all the servants who have borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors who brought in owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So the master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and said, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." The master was filled with pity for him and released him to forgive the debt. Then the man left the king and went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him, begged him for a little bit more time, saying the exact same thing that he said to the king. "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it." But the servant wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and thrown in prison until he could pay the debt in full. Some of the other servants saw this, and they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king then called the man in and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you such a tremendous debt. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Then the angry king went away to the and sent the man away to the prison to be tortured until he paid his entitled debt. That is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. I'm like, whoa. Like, that's a pretty amazing parable, right? Again, Jesus teaches on this multiple times because it's difficult. The king was owed a great debt. It's described as millions of dollars, right? And that's what we can kind of verify in the vertical. And then another person comes, a fellow servant, in this horizontal debt, the horizontal debt, with a few thousand dollars. And he says, "Nah, I'm not going to forgive them." The master says, No, hang on. I forgave you, vertical, millions of dollars. You need to forgive, horizontal, a few thousand. We see that here again, that we are forgiven much, so we have to forgive others, and that they are tied together. It's not just this foreign concept of like, oh, well, that's maybe an obscure verse in second opinion somewhere. It doesn't exist. What we see is that these horizontal and these vertical relationships are tied together in forgiveness. But one of the things is we live in this age, in this culture, where forgiveness in the vertical doesn't seem important or can't be measured very well, because we are measuring in the horizontal. We're saying, "I'm not as bad as that person." I'm going to point over here. Don't point to anyone out here. "I'm not as bad as that person. That person's really bad, so I'm doing okay." We're measuring this way. And God says, no, that's not the way you're supposed to measure. The few thousands, what's connected is the millions. When you come up to your forgiveness with God, that's what's important. But it is equally as important as forgiving those. We get to the point in the sermon, you say, "Sean, I didn't want to hear this. I want to give this information back." Right? Like, this is what if I just want to sit in my unforgiveness? What if they really, really wronged me? That's fair. Some people want to do that. Marianne Williamson describes it this way. Oh, sorry. Let's go to the next point there. Again, God's done the vertical part of the forgiveness, so we must do the horizontal part of the forgiveness. But what if we don't want to? What if we want to sit in it? Marianne Williamson describes it this way. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Now, we think that we're doing something against them, but we're really doing something against God and ourselves. I want you to imagine for a sec, going up to the person who hurt you, right? They caused you, again, real harm. And saying, "Because you hurt me, I'm going to drink this poison. I really hope you suffer from it." How crazy would you look? Would that teach the other person to not hurt you? That's what it's like if we're blocking the flow of forgiveness in our life. Maybe we've shoved so much garbage in this pipe that we're not sure if the forgiveness is coming through anymore. we might be blocking forgiveness in our life, somewhere, with someone, because we want to hold on to it. Now, let's make a point here, because Darren made a point last week, and I want to kind of jump off that point. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Okay? We are called to forgive. Yeah. That's not the same as being reconciled with somebody. Because if someone's hurt you, say if, when someone's hurt you, I'm talking, again, knife in the back, words behind your back, left you wondering, how could someone ever be so cruel? That type of hurt has to be forgiven, yeah. Not reconciled or restored, but forgiven, yes. Do you ever have to trust that person again? No. Do you ever have to restore your relationship back to where it was? No. Reconciliation is saying, look, you and I are both trying to seek God. We're called to forgive. But we're going to try and seek God, even if it means that we're never the same again. If you hurt me, I am forgiven, or I'm commanded by God to forgive you for the sake of Jesus. It's not just forgiving it, but it's not to hold that hatred in my heart, hold that bitterness in my heart. Jesus even, again, expands on this so many times of like, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that have hurt you. So that we both can seek God. But guys, you may never be restored. Because restoration takes both parties willing to come together to fix things and go forward. Sometimes you don't want to ever speak to that person ever again. Sometimes they have hurt you so badly that you don't want to ever see them. I'm entirely comfortable with saying to somebody, look, I forgive you, but I don't trust you yet. And that's okay. You say, let's see what God's going to do in your life. One of the things that's important is forgiveness isn't pretending that it didn't happen. It's not sweeping it under the rug. It's not saying, well, I guess it wasn't that bad. No. Again, it's talking about sins addressing real harm. If something was really bad happened to you, we're not going to downplay that. That was bad. It was evil. It was wicked. It was wrong. We call a spade a spade. We don't just sweep it under the rug and say, nah, it's not that bad. We see this in Genesis chapter 15. Okay, this is the story of Joseph. If you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, I'm going to summarize it because it's a long story. Joseph was the favorite, and he flaunted that favoritism to his brothers. So his brothers decided to kill him. So they beat him up and threw him in a ditch. We're going to leave him there. But then they saw slavers come by and they said, opportunity, let's sell him. So they sold him. He had a pretty rough life. But he got to further in his life where he got into a position of authority. And his brothers had to come to him to ask for food. And Joseph could have had that moment, right? That sweet, you've come crawling back. He could have. But he chose not to. Instead, he said something that was important. He says, you meant it for evil. What you did was wrong. But God meant it for good. Again, if you look at Joseph's life, there was a lot of bad things that happened because of that one action. And so he could have been had that chip on his shoulder, could have been had that grudge. He'd been carrying it around the entire time of like, oh, once I get to see them again, hoo-hoo-hoo, justice will come down. He goes, no, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. He didn't say, you know, you beat me up. You were planning on killing me. No big deal. No worries. We're all good. Put her here. No. He said, you hurt me. And I don't necessarily trust you. But that's okay. I do forgive you. One of the things that's important that we see here is, again, Joseph's father died a little later in the story, and his brothers had this fear. Like, oh, hang on. Joseph only forgave us because dad was around. So when dad died, Joseph's brothers were like, oh no, Joseph's going to come and, you know, now comes the big hammer of doom. Joseph comes to him and says, no, that's not, I forgave you. That's not what's going to happen. He said, again, what you did was wrong, but you've been forgiven of that hurt. So we get to the point in the sermon where we call it the so what point. Like, okay, Sean, we've learned about what we need to do. We've learned that it's a little bit painful, but how? How do I forgive that person? That person, right? Well, before we get to the how, I have a quote from Gail Irwin, and Gail Irwin is talking about when we have unforgiveness in our lives and the effect it can have on our ministry. He says, until we understood germs, the unwashed hands of a surgeon guaranteed death for half of its patients. Unforgiveness on our part is like having unwashed hands in our ministry to others. We only spread disease. The forgiveness of God is either funneled through us, okay, or shielded from us by our own reception of our unforgiveness. It can't just be bottled up. Unforgiveness means that I'm spreading a disease. Now, again, the surgeon who used to operate on people, did he think he wanted to spread the disease? No, he wanted to care for people. But until he understood the germs, until he understood the point, he was spreading disease. So it's like if I, Sean, am trying to minister to people who, and I have not forgiven them, it's like I'm spreading a disease. At the end, we've been generously and graciously forgiven by God so much in that vertical that we have to extend it to others. And you may be thinking, well, Sean, but who is this? Who's this person I need to forgive? I'll give you a hint. You've been thinking about them this entire time. Chances are they consume a lot of your time. That they're living in your mind and in your heart for a long time. So much so that they should start paying you rent because they live there. You don't have to be saying like, God, who might I forgive? I don't know anyone. It's pretty there, right? If you haven't had like, oh, maybe I don't need to forgive anyone, that's okay. But chances are they've been living rent-free in your head and in your heart. And it kind of circles back to that first statement I said is, do you ever want to give something back to God? Like, God, like that forgiveness, oh, I don't know. I want to give that knowledge back. Maybe you feel like, Sean, that person doesn't deserve it. Okay, it's a fair statement. I'll help you out. They don't deserve it, right? It's a bold statement. They don't deserve the forgiveness you're giving them. However, did you or I deserve it? Did you or I deserve the vertical forgiveness that was given to us? You may be thinking, Sean, but they're not ready yet. They're not ready for that reconciliation, or they're not ready for that restoration. That's okay. Forgiveness is on your part. Again, you're the one that has the trash here. Not calling other people trash. You're the one that has the grudge there. You pull that out. It's calling you to forgive as Christ forgave. There are some cases where you might not be able to forgive somebody, or I say you might not be able to tell somebody you forgive them. Maybe that person who's wronged you has deceased. Maybe that person who's wronged you has hurt you so badly that you don't ever want to speak to them again. Okay? Sometimes you need to tell them that you forgive them. Other times it's a relationship between you and God. You need to let that go. Maybe you need to write a letter or send a text message of forgiveness, an email of forgiveness. I have also had to do that. Again, we talked about like never having to put your foot in your mouth. I've had to write an email of forgiveness, of careless remarks. One thing we need to understand about forgiveness is that it's a continual process, not a one-time event. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you forgive somebody, and you say, I forgive you. You go to bed, and you wake up, and you're still mad. What they've done to you still affects you to this day. Maybe it takes 5, 10 months, years of therapy to work through that. And that means that it's going to take 5, 10 months or years of continuously forgiving that person. As I've forgiven someone before, and then I woke up and I'm like, man, I'm still angry about what they did. So then I have to choose that day to forgive them again and again and again. Because if we think about it on the timeline of our life, Jesus is like, okay, I forgive everything up to 15 years old. Some of us are like, okay, well, hang on. Well, I was 16, I was young, I was not very smart. No, Jesus says, I forgave you yesterday, I forgive you today, and I'm going to forgive you tomorrow. It's one thing we have to get from this. That's the kind of the main point. Because, again, if we don't forgive others, the forgiveness stops from us. And guys, Satan's going to use whatever he can to get you to not go to heaven. If he gets you to shove the garbage here so this stops, he's won. He's going to take you down with him. Darren said something about the forgiveness cycle last week. Talks about when we receive grace, we extend grace so that we can actually be the ones that are set free. And that's where we see this prayer of letting go. This prayer of letting go of the things that have happened to us. Not saying, again, not saying they're not important, not saying that they're not hurt. We call a spade, sin is sin. But letting go of that grudge, pulling that trash out. We see this as changing through prayer. Not a recited prayer, but I'm talking grudge-killing, life-changing prayer. It's not a one-time event. It's many times. Because the very act of praying for somebody who has hurt you begins that forgiveness cycle. You may be thinking, back up a second. Now you may be thinking, okay, Sean, we got what we're supposed to do, we got when we're supposed to do it, but like, how many times do I need to forgive that person? Because man, that person's mean. Or that person, fill in the blank, maybe they work with you, maybe they are in your family, maybe they're your mom or your dad or an uncle. Like, how many times do I let that person hurt me? Again, putting up healthy boundaries to keep that relationship away. But how many times? Guys, your church, you're not alone. Peter asked the very same question. He sat down with Jesus and says, how many times must I forgive somebody? 7 times? Peter's thinking, that's a great number, right? 7 times? Because some of us, it's like, you fool me once. You fool me twice. Nope, you're over there now. Peter's like, okay, I'm going to go gracious. Lord, 7 times, right? That's more fingers in one hand, right? Like, okay. Jesus says, no, Peter, 70 times 7. Now, the literal part of me is like, okay, 490. I'm going to say, if someone's wronged you 490 times, you need to put up some more boundaries. But that's the thing, is it's not limited. It's ongoing process of forgiveness. And that's what Jesus is saying. Again, he goes from the Lord's Prayer to this forgiveness thing, but he doesn't even stop there. Again, verse 15 is not the end of the chapter. In fact, the series has one more sermon in it. And Kevin's going to be preaching in that sermon next week of when you pray. Again, that we've called the series that important, of when you pray, not if you pray. When is like that, I know you're going to do this, so when you do it like this. That prayer of letting go. The ironic thing is Kevin's going to be preaching next week. Not the ironic that he's preaching. The ironic thing that Kevin's preaching next week, and he's going to be preaching on fasting. Because again, Jesus continues with the story. The ironic thing is that we have a potluck next week. And Kevin's going to be preaching on fasting. So if you want to hear what Kevin and what Jesus talks about fasting right before you go eat the potluck, be sure to come back next week, because we have that for you. I'm going to close this out in prayer, and if you need help, maybe you need someone to talk to, maybe you need someone to reach out to, we are here as the elders, as the pastors. We're here to reach out and help you, because we too want you to take that next step of forgiveness. It's difficult. It's hard. Jesus spends extra time on it because it's important, because it's one of the hardest things we're probably going to have to do. If you bow your heads, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words of encouragement, your words of just wisdom and grace that, again, the chapter doesn't end there. You give us this extra words of encouragement, not just here, but through the rest of the Bible, of forgiveness goes with prayer, life goes with our salvation. And Lord, I pray for those people we've been thinking of, the ones that are living rent-free. I pray that we can forgive them. We can, if we have to write them a letter, let's do that. If we have to do what we need to do, if we want to try in reconciliation, restoration, we can try to both seek you, but that doesn't mean a relationship has to be the same, and that's okay. I pray for the forgiveness that you give me that I can give to others. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.